Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very pleasant good afternoon to you. Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And Steve, in a few moments, will be checking in from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Get in touch with us anytime with our email, stevejones@wkok.com. And after we finish our live shows, we drop them as a podcast so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere, on demand. They're available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. Podcast numbers continue to go up. We appreciate that very much. And if you happen to listen to us on iTunes, don't hesitate to leave us a review. 5-star review. Love those. With you live till 5, then we'll have the late-day news roundup with Sarah Benick and CBS Sports Radio tonight. We were scheduled to have Shikellamy Sports tonight, but because of the early dismissals for Shikellamy, no basketball, no wrestling tonight. Shikellamy-Shamokin Wrestling has been rescheduled for Saturday at 3, so we will have that for you here on WKOK with Steve Williams. And Shikellamy-Lewisburg basketball tonight postponed. No new date has been set as of yet. And, of course, when that gets ironed out, we'll have that for you as well here on WKOK with Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie. Jacksonville Jaguars running back Leonard Fournette escaped injury earlier today after being involved in a 3-car accident in Jacksonville. Florida Highway Patrol says that Fournette's vehicle was one of 3 cars involved in a chain reaction crash that took place on I-295 just before noon today. Fournette was not at fault and was allowed to drive home after police sorted everything out. Besides Fournette, the passengers in the other 2 cars also escaped without injury. One car had to be towed from the scene. One driver involved from the incident ended up being cited for careless driving.
Do we know the whereabouts of the suit at that time?
I know where he was 1 hour prior to that, but
where was that?
We had in our meeting this morning.
Going flights. Not funny. Just wondering.
Okay.
It's just a question.
Yeah. You're an inquiring mind that wanted to know.
I mean, no need to get touchy about it.
I'm not touchy at all.
All right, so explain to everybody what it was like sitting there watching that. Because you texted me at one point. I did not text you back. I just figured, well, let's just see how this goes.
Well, my phone died halfway through the third quarter, and I wasn't even at 20% battery strength. So, but I have an iPhone 6, but that's another story for another time. I'm just having some battery issues with my phone. Maybe it was the cold weather. Oh, 21-0 at one point, I said to myself, self...
He texted
what the,
me.
What the heck am I doing here? Oh, yeah, at that point, 21-0. What was my text? One word.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, not me, the team on the field. And they just dug themselves too deep into a hole they couldn't get out of. So much for that shutout. I was really hoping on that shutout that you were looking for. Boy, I no. You can't tell me any in the 64,000 in that house expected a 45-42 shootout. I sure did.
Excuse me. I took full responsibility for my comments yesterday.
Okay. Well, I knew you would.
I said, look, I was. Could I be any more wrong than I was? I was wrong. I said they would woodshed them and they would shut them out. Mm. Now, most shows would be like, just move on to whatever.
It's just
look at the hand. Look at the hand.
It's just absolutely mind-boggling. You see Blake Bortles, who pretty much was not even allowed to throw one pass in the second half of the game against Buffalo. And it just at the right times where he needed to make a play on Sunday, he made a play. And you got to give him credit for it. That does not make him Tom Brady. That does not put him in NFL's elite. But you make a play at the right time when you're supposed to make a play, and he did.
But I did say this yesterday. Maybe Jacksonville's better.
The defense was much quicker. Much quicker.
But you played them twice.
Yeah.
Both games were at home.
Yep.
Both games were separated by a significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
The result was the same each time. Maybe they're just better than you are. Now, you don't, as a Steeler fan, you don't want to admit that. You're sitting there saying, I've got Le'Veon Bell. I've got Ben Roethlisberger. I've got Antonio Brown. I got Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm better than they are. Right? Except as a team, maybe you're not better than their team.
I'll admit, I was more honked off leaving the stadium back in October than I was on Sunday, but maybe that's because of the fact that it was just so bone-chilling cold and just I was so emotionally drained after watching that shootout. So it's that probably.
How did Deb handle it?
She handled it great. Sat through the whole thing. As I told you last week, you know, did she duck into the club when she needed to warm up? Nope. Stayed out there the whole time.
I go to games when it's cold.
The heck he does.
Exactly right.
I won't back you up on. I ain't backing you up on that one. You'll be out on your boat yourself.
No. We all know that is not happening with him. How many times have you asked him to go to a Steeler game? And how many times has he told you no?
He's batting 1,000.
See, maybe you and I ought to go to a game sometime.
I'm in. I would love that.
Sunday. I don't want to knock Deb out.
Well, it's a situation where obviously there's more than two tickets, and we can make it happen.
No, maybe you and I would go to a game sometime.
I think we need to get next time Steelers Giants happens, and I don't care if it's either at Heinz Field or in East Rutherford. I think Steelers Giants. I think your brother needs to come down, and we road trip, and we definitely do a game. That we've got to make happen.
I think it'd be fun.
It would be a blast. I would love to sit and watch a pro football game with you in person. I mean, I would come out of that stadium smarter.
I don't say much during the game.
Good. You could probably show me some nuances and ins and outs that I wouldn't expect to see.
Well, all I know is, I talked about nuances yesterday. Artie Burns did not come out well with my nuances.
He made a play or two here and there on Sunday, but that line, I mean, no pressure whatsoever on Bortles. I kept looking out there, wait, is Bud Dupree out there? Is he out? Okay, yeah, I see a 48, but he might as well not be out there. I mean, TJ Watt was quiet. He was a whisker off from getting a sack in the second half, but just missed by a hair. But, no pressure at all. And the team that was leading the NFL in sacks going into that game. But yeah,
and line of scrimmage,
they got the crap knocked out of them. Absolutely, 3-point game, final score. Nah, that game wasn't as close. Wasn't that close?
Jacksonville got pressure with four. I don't remember them blitzing.
Yeah.
Do you? I don't remember them blitzing.
No.
Now this is where we'll get into this with Neil Coulong, obviously. But this is where the Antonio Brown injury came into play. He was phenomenal. He's the best receiver in the game. He was phenomenal.
And those two touchdown grabs that he had with A.J. Bouye, he blanketed him. He did a phenomenal job on coverage. He couldn't have covered him any better.
Right. Except, the two touchdown grabs and a couple of others drove home something to me. What did you notice on the two touchdown grabs? AJ was the only guy with him.
Yeah, there was no one else around. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
I think because of the injury. Now, Jacksonville normally doesn't double up. They did not use a safety because they didn't feel they had to.
Mm-mm.
With the injury. Now, with that said, Brown was phenomenal. But if you notice Ben holding the ball, looking around, because normally Brown's doubled.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't doubling him. Well, now that extra guy is doing something he shouldn't be doing normally. Taking up a space he shouldn't be in. And I think that caused a lot of confusion for the Steelers during the course of the game because they couldn't find sometimes where that extra guy was.
Oh, when you get Ben upwards of over 35 passes a game, yeah, it just gets too one-dimensional. You're down 21-0, so there's really nothing you can do there. So I was just really hoping for much more balanced offensive attack with the run and the pass, and it goes back to October. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that I was, I was harping on over and over again when we were on the Clipper going back to our car to Station Square. How many times did Bell get the ball that game in October? 15. How many times did he get the ball this past Sunday? 16.
Yeah, but they
were stuck. But they were stuck.
But that extra guy took away touches from him.
Yeah.
You know, again, because they weren't doubling Brown, didn't have to. So after 19 weeks, you're 66-49 after a 1-3 performance over the weekend.
Putrid, also embarrassing.
I am 66-48, one game ahead of you, after a sterling, and I want to say remarkable, 2-2 performance. My brother went 3-1. He's 71-43. What game did he lose? Falcons, Eagles? Ouch. Which one? No, you know, he picked the Saints. I think he did. I mean, I got to 2-2 because of a miracle play. I got to 2-2 because of a miracle play that shouldn't have happened. He's 71-43. He wins the title.
He's got it. He gets the pickles. He gets the Brewers outlet pickles. But yeah, what a crazy ending to the Saints-Vikings game. We were just traveling a little north of Altoona on the way home when... And I had a quick draw on the tuner because Sirius XM had both calls one channel apart. So I was listening to the Saints call, and then I wanted to flip then over to Paul Allen. And yes, he was still still in full throat at that point after the Diggs grab. What a finish!
Yeah, I can't remember a better finish than that. It was remarkable.
Case Keenum. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thunk it? You got Case Keenum, Nick Foles, Blake Bortles, and Tom Brady. Your four quarterbacks in the final four.
three of the four franchises that are left have never won the Super Bowl before. And I'll be honest with you. Let's be direct here. Brady down the stretch, the Tennessee game's the best game he's played down the stretch. He really was not awesome and incredible the last month of the season. If you think about it. Now, he was terrific on Saturday night. But he was good, but not like, whoa, look at him. There are times where he played like a 30-year-old Tom Brady, and there have been times down the stretch where he's played like a 40-year-old Tom Brady. I'm talking in terms of normal age. It's going to be interesting against that defense, what he does. The problem is that on the other side, I don't care what he did in the second half against Pittsburgh. That's still Blake Bortles over there. Could you imagine a Super Bowl with Blake Bortles and
Case Keenum?
Case Keenum or Nick Foles. Right, where all of a sudden it's the backup quarterback bowl. Great, fabulous. All right. The NFL, like, trotting out the two starting quarterbacks. That's great. Fabulous.
I'm here for the snacks and to watch commercials. I'm looking for Bud Bowl 15. Dilly dilly.
Okay, we trotted out the two starting quarterbacks. They're Peyton Manning and Cam Newton. We trotted out the two starting quarterbacks. They're Tom Brady and Eli Manning. We trotted out the two starting quarterbacks. It's Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. We trotted out the two starting quarterbacks. It's Blake Bortles and Nick Foles. Oh, great. Okay. But, okay. Even the media is not attending. No, I think I'll go talk to Stephon Diggs. Okay, great, good.
And in Minnesota, no less.
Yeah, I think we're going to go over and we're going to talk to Nelson Aguilar.
This is the QB matchup where the beat reporters have been covering it for 20, 30 years. This is the game that should be in Florida. Why can't this be in L.A.?
we brought out the stars to talk from each team. Representing the Eagles is Fletcher Cox. Representing Jacksonville is Calais Campbell. about the quarterbacks?
But good call by you. Good call by you on Fletcher Cox. Boy, did he ball out on Saturday.
That's an easy call. He's just legitimately great player.
That was one of the first players that when we had Ruben Frank on the show last week to get his reaction on how he has done this year. But boy, what a phenomenal performance by the Eagles, by the way.
I think that when you have special players like Fletcher Cox, when they sniff something special, their game gears up a little bit. Fletcher Cox is one of those guys. I think he's going to have a phenomenal game on Sunday. I think the other guy's going to have a phenomenal game is Malcolm Jenkins. And then let's flip it to the other side. You look at Minnesota. Is Harrison Smith a great player?
I can't wait for this guy. I just can't wait to see both defenses out there. This is going to be that kind of shows the age in me, but it's just great to see a defensive slobber knocker for a change. But I sat down through a 45-42 game, so maybe I'm just looking to watch something a little different.
And by the way, I am not in that clarion call. Tomlin's got to go. No, please. Okay,
Who else are they going to get?
that's what gets me is the Colts are all excited. They got Josh McDaniel. Well, okay, I watched his tenure in Denver. All right.
Oh my God! You should have heard all the people in the stands on Sunday. I mean, on the fourth down play when they tossed it, when Ben tossed it 5 yards back to Lev Bell to try to get the first down. I mean, I was hearing fire Haley all over the place. It's like the reason why they brought Todd Haley in was to protect Ben, and it's worked. It's worked.
Do you know what's interesting though, is that. They set the clock at 40 and they start going. They have 25 seconds because you get the clock shut down at, 15 seconds? You cannot communicate to the quarterback any longer at the 15-second mark.
Oh, in the headset, yeah. Right.
In the headset.
Yeah.
You've got 25 seconds to do. Hey, let's think about your day. How many 25-second decisions do you have to make in a month?
Well, and that play was even coming out of a timeout, too. It made it more frustrating.
No, but I'm saying as a play caller, I always love when I hear, play calling's awful. It's awful. It's awful. And again, when they pitched the ball back to Bell, I thought it was a terrible call, too. Okay? But I always hear about play calling all the time. How many 25-second decisions do you make in a month? None! Okay? Maybe I should go through this light. Okay. the play calling is awful. Okay, let's think of all the 25-second decisions you make in a month. No? I need a little time to think about what I'm going to do here. Well, that's part of the job, and I understand that. But I always love when people criticize play calling because you can't do it. It's not an easy thing to do. It doesn't mean you don't disagree with it. You're entitled to disagree with it. You paid good money. The suit paid no money. He has no right, because he keeps turning you down to go to games, he has no right to criticize.
Yeah, but I paid good money to see two of the four Steelers' losses this year. I need to stay. I think I need to stay home.
Do the Roonies know? We'll come back. Okay.
Oh, that's him. Bye. That guy. Yes.
Oh my God. Security. Security.
I wasn't that bad.
Sean Carey is in the building. If you could escort him out, tell him that we got a great seat for him over at Houlihan's.
You know what a Deb would say? He can go. I'm staying right here.
Right. Ship him out. Oh, no, they'd let Deb stay.
Oh, they sure would.
Oh, like, hey, check out who Sean's with. You can tell him to leave. What about her? No, she's fine.
She's like, I'll meet him back at the parking deck. I'm not going anywhere.
Hey, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
But don't you understand? All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, take the boat.
Actually, the Clippers weren't running on Sunday. High water. So we had to call. We had to call an audible. Luckily, we found out at 10 o'clock Saturday night. So I got a plan B in place with no problem.
That explains the parachutes. All right. Bottom of the hour news next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, Penn State basketball last night lost in overtime to Minnesota. Both teams shorthanded going into the game. Minnesota shot the ball really, really well last night. But there are a couple things that for Penn State,
I'm going to do this in a three-prong way. So let's start with the defensive end of it. The defensive end of it was a problem. You can't give up 53%. But Nate Mason's a really good three-point shooter, around 40%. And Dupree McBrayer is a really good three-point shooter, also right around 40%. All right. Well, that is... All right. They hit threes. That's no surprise. They're both two really good three-point shooters. The guy you don't expect is Jameer Harris. He had scored a total of 9 points in the Big Ten. He'd scored a total of 9 in the Big Ten. And he scored 16 last night. Hit 2 big threes in overtime, hit a couple threes early in the game. You know, a team that's 10 of 17 of their threes, hard to beat. All right, that said, so part of that is defense and going under ball screens and things like that. All right, so that's the defensive part. Now let's get to, there's only one coaching area I just want to address. And that it's, and believe me, I rarely talk about coaching, whatever. The only thing I would have changed coaching wise last night, the only thing, or if I could be a bug in Pat's ear, when Penn State had the 20-12 lead, he put guys in the game. Okay, that's fine, including Satchel Pierce. Well, you could tell right away in the first couple of possessions, Jordan Murphy was going to just tear apart Satchel Pierce. You could tell. And Pat saw it. So he immediately got guys to the scoring table, including Mike Watkins. And I know you're in a really tough spot. Do you really want to be... Mike played 37 minutes last night. Do you really want to play Mike 37 minutes? Of course not. You don't want to do that. You want to get Mike around 30 minutes in a game. But it's also hard to put Julian Moore in there because back-to-back games that are close together with his knee is not... That's not quite right. Okay. But I don't blame him for putting Pierce in. But when you could just tell he had no shot against Murphy, right? And I know he was hoping for the media timeout. I think he just should have used his timeout at that point. And that would be about it. You know, other people in God, they should have done this, should have done that. Look, there's no magic wand here, okay, guys? I mean, I know everyone thinks there's a magic wand when it comes to coaching and so forth, and you're the head of the program, and I got that part. But No. There's nothing that they did during the course of the game that I would look at and say, oh, no, no. That's just the one thing, because I think it would have stopped the run for Minnesota, maybe blunted momentum, because you can win or lose a game in the first half, which now brings me to Tony Carr. Tony Carr was, in the final 8 minutes of that game, remarkable. But Tony's performance in the first half opened the door for Minnesota to win the game. He needed to be remarkable, I think, in part to make up for what he did in the first half. Because you can win or lose a game in the first half. I would like to see Tony Carr, Penn State's point guard, do a better job of taking the game temperature in the first 10 to 15 minutes of a game instead of more often than not getting his own. Doesn't mean he can't take a shot here or there, but find out who's hot, who's not, what's working, what's not. It took 74 shots last night. He took 30 of them. Now, admittedly, down the stretch, I wanted him taking a lot of shots because he was the hot guy. And he sent it to overtime with a three, and he hit all of his free throws, all at crunch time. He's 24 for 24 in the final 4 minutes of games. But I want to see my point guard do a better job of taking the game temperature in the first 10 to 15 minutes of a game to figure out what's working, what's not working, who's hot, what's the best matchup, because now you're doing this in real time. Instead of taking, well, here's an opening, I'm going to take an off-balance shot. And he takes too many off-balance shots. That's why his two-point percentage is as mediocre as it is. When he's square to the bucket, he makes shots. He misses when he is off-balance. And he takes, you know, it's not, you know, you can be square and in control on your floater, and that's a signature move for him. I'm fine with that. But when you take the floater and you're off-balance and sliding, you're going to miss it. That turnaround jumper he has, boom, he turns, and when he's square and snaps it off, he's got it. When he's off balance, he misses it. I mean, that's just simple, fundamental play right there. I would want to see him, instead of gobbling up shots in the first 10 to 15 minutes of a game, I want to see him do a better job of taking the room temperature in the first 10 to 15 minutes and get people involved in the flow of the game. Because when one guy does take over, other guys then start standing around and watching him, and I don't want to see that. One quick note about Josh Reeves. And we don't know how it's going to play out, what's going to happen. I have no idea. But there's been this narrative out there, not by the media at all, not by the media, but you know fans want to, you know, they ask you questions and they kind of pop off about the coaching staff, and so how could they not know about his situation? It's amazing how if you don't know how things work, you don't get you let your assumptions always blame the wrong party. First of all, it's Josh Reeves' responsibility. Let's start with that. That's number one. Number two, I teach a class here at Penn State. And part of teaching the class at Penn State means along the way I've had student athletes in my class. I've had baseball players and football players, and I've had members of the dance team. I mean, they count as well. I've had softball and field hockey. I mean, all sorts of student athletes, women's soccer, volleyball players. And every time I have a student athlete in my class, every month I get an email from the Morgan Academic Center. And Morgan wants to know from you, A, is the student making progress in your class? B, what grade should the student have at this time? And they also want to know how many classes the student has missed. And you do this every month. So you'll send in a it doesn't take long, and if you're a professional as you do this, you answer the email and you send the result in. But they want to know, is the student athlete in danger of failing the course? What letter grade would they have at this particular time? How many classes have they missed? At the end of September, I have to fill one of those out. At the end of October, and at the end of November. So the academic people and the academic person for, in this case, basketball, would know exactly where he'd be along the way. The one progress report you don't get is you don't get a progress report until it happens after finals. That progress report is called the final grade. So you don't know what happens between the end of November and the end of finals until you get the final grades. Same thing happens in the spring. I'll have to do an academic. I'm trying to think if I have any. I think I have one athlete in my class this spring. And we'll only have one class so far because yesterday was King Day. But I'll have to fill one out at the end of January, February, March. And then I don't have to do one in April because, again, that's the final grade. So they're constantly being monitored as to where they are. Are they missing classes? Are they in trouble of failing? What is the actual letter grade that at this moment you'd have? Now, in my class, everybody knows where they stand because they get it. They get a progress report every 2 weeks from me with every single grade they've earned to that point as a running total on their evaluations. So every student in my class already gets an evaluation every 2 weeks as to where they stand. They already know. Because somebody said, well, why would you treat an athlete different? I don't. Now, I have to fill out that additional report for Morgan. But believe me, the athlete in class gets the exact same every 2 week progress report from me that extends over a 10-week period. So they know where they are before they do their next project. They know exactly where they are before they do the project after that. They know exactly where they are before they go into the final project. They've got everything laid out for them with evaluations every 2 weeks. So I've always done that. So this is, how could the coach lose control of a... Huh? Every once in a while you have to maybe give people a little more information. So that they know something maybe they didn't know before as to how it works. All right. But Tony Carr's got to do a better job of taking the temperature out there. Because, look, without Josh Reeves, obviously you lose a great defender, a passer, and things like that. But you know what you also lose on the floor? You lose a fourth three-point shooter out there. And I've always felt in college basketball, a fourth three-point shooter is invaluable. Not because they can hit three-point shots, because obviously they can, but that fourth three-point shooter changes the spacing on the floor. Suddenly you've got four three-point shooters out there. You're not sitting there saying, hey, you're open for a reason. You can't leave anybody open. See, Penn State hasn't had that the last three games. They've had three and sometimes two three-point shooters on the court, and that does change the dynamics on the floor as well. Changes the dynamics a lot. Well, I don't know how it's going to play out with him. I have no clue. I'm in a wait-and-see mode like the rest of you when it comes to that. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. There's still a lot of games out there to win. Like I said, I just want to see the point guard do a little bit better job of taking the temperature in the first 10 to 15 minutes to then determine how much he should be involved in shooting the ball and how much he should be involved in terms of passing the ball. Now, there were some almost assists for him last night where guys didn't finish, right? So let's give credit. And down the stretch, I wanted him shooting because he was the hot hand. You feed the hot hand. If it turns out it's the guy bringing the ball up, it's the guy bringing the ball up. But the first 10, 15 minutes, it doesn't have to be him. It's his job to find out what's working and what's not, and it always can't be him who thinks he's working.
All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Okay. Look, officials have to do a better job with the replay part of it. It's got to be more efficiency in replay across the board.
I'll give Gene Steratore, though, a ton of credit. He was covering the Minnesota Saints game there Sunday night and then flies right into the Jordan Center. So, kudos.
Yep.
You figured you're like, oh, I think he deserve a night off.
He's
a grinder. He's a grinder.
Oh, no. Now, you know what? Gene's a really good guy. I've talked to Gene so many times. He likes the fact that I knew his dad. You know, his dad was a really good college basketball official for a long time, did a lot of Penn State games along the way. Look, Pat Driscoll's one of the best. He worked the game last night. And I think Gene's very, very good. But here's my bone to pick with last night on the officiating. It has nothing to do at all with any call that was made or whatever. But Jamir Harris, who hit 2 threes in overtime and a couple threes early in the game, also went through a spell of not hitting anything, including one he took from the wing with 5 minutes to go in the game. So on the near wing, he takes it, and it's such a bad shot. You know, things happen. Right? It's such a bad shot that he hits the backboard, and you could tell from where we were that it missed the rim by about 6 inches to a foot. Okay. That's not close, okay? And there's a scramble for the ball, and the shot clock should go off, but no, at the table, they reset it to 30. They thought it hit the rim. Okay. Now, I think Gene and Pat realize, like, hey, wait a minute, something's not quite right here. You're allowed to look at it. Well, you could see right away, live, it missed. You look to the replay, you can say, yep, that missed. And I said on the broadcast, and this is seconds after it happened, and I said, it should be Penn State's ball, 30 on the shot clock, and the game clock needs to recycle to 4:59. Now, the three officials huddled up, talked, kept huddling, kept talking. Then they went over to the monitor, and then they looked at it, and then, of course, they go over to the table, talk to them. Then they finally send an official over to tell TV. So after about 4 to 5 minutes of this, they give Penn State the ball, put the shot clock at 30, and reset the game clock at 4:59. You got to go faster.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.